Major Wall Street banks have given congressional committees investigating President Trump thousands of pages of documents.
So there's a lot of very different financial information, a lot of records being handed over at the moment.
And bond yields fall, prompting big swings in the market.
Everyone is quite unsure what to expect because everything is so hard to read.
Plus, billionaire Leslie Wexner says Jeffrey Epstein misappropriated vast sums of money from him. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a look at what documents major Wall Street banks are turning over to congressional investigators probing President Trump's financial dealings, here's what you missed. President Trump met with victims of mass shootings in Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso, Texas, yesterday. The trip was designed to offer comfort during a moment of national mourning.
They have done an incredible job. Both places, just incredible. And the enthusiasm, the love, the respect, and also the telling me, let's see if we can get something done. And Republicans want to do it, and Democrats want to do it.
However, his visits were met with protests in both cities. There were also fights with Democrats angered by his rhetoric and skeptical of his pledge to tackle gun violence. Here's Democratic presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke addressing a protest in El Paso.
We live in a country where we have a president who demonizes communities like this one, who vilifies immigrants, who says that those from Mexico are rapists and criminals and warns of invasions and infestations.
Democrats are continuing to press President Trump to throw his support behind gun control legislation. Separately, Universal Pictures said it would halt marketing for its movie The Hunt in the wake of the two mass shootings. The movie depicts a divided nation where heavily armed elites hunt down and kill others for sport. And Leslie Wexner, the billionaire behind Victoria's Secret, said that his former money manager Jeffrey Epstein misappropriated more than $46 million of his fortune. He disclosed the issue in a letter to his foundation on Wednesday. Mr. Wexner wrote that the missing funds were uncovered after he decided in 2007 to sever ties with Mr. Epstein. Mr. Wexner began the separation process after allegations against Mr. Epstein surfaced involving sexual abuse of underage girls. A lawyer for Mr. Epstein couldn't be reached for comment. A spokesman for Mr. Wexner declined to comment on whether Mr. Wexner reported the matter to authorities. Now, our main story this morning. It's a look at what financial documents big Wall Street banks have turned over to congressional investigators probing President Trump's dealings. Thousands of pages of documents have been turned over by the likes of Citigroup and Deutsche Bank, according to people familiar with the investigations. To find out more, Charlie Turner has been speaking to Gene Eaglesham.
Gene, congressional committees controlled by Democrats have subpoenaed documents from major Wall Street banks related to Russians who may have had dealings with President Trump, his family, or his business. New York State investigators have also made requests regarding Mr. Trump's business. Can you remind us what information the House Intelligence and Judiciary Committees are looking for and what New York State investigators are seeking in all these documents?
Sure. So the congressional committees, they're focusing partly on these Russians. So they're looking for any connections between Russian business people and the president and his business. They've separately gone to two of the banks, Deutsche and Capital One, looking for information, a real wide range of information on President Trump's personal finances, his family's finances, his business. In the lawsuits seeking to block those subpoenas, they're complaining that they're looking for even every debit card transaction for groceries. It's a very, very wide-ranging subpoenas. At the same time, we have the New York State Attorney General, and she's gone to Deutsche for information on three specific loans and another loan that didn't go through, and also to Investors Bank for a mortgage related to one of President Trump's properties in New York. So there's a lot of very different financial information, a lot of records being handed over at the moment.
Some questions here. What do we know so far? Which banks have responded? And to what degree have they cooperated?
What we know is that a lot of the major Wall Street banks have handed over thousands of documents to the congressional investigators. And also, there's a lot of documents have gone to the New York State Attorney General from the two banks who've been subpoenaed there. So what's happening is the president has gone to court to fight two of the subpoenas. which are ones that are particularly related to his personal finances, his family's finances. And they're arguing in court these are very intrusive, and these legal battles going on, and we're waiting for appeals courts to rule on those. But while that's happening, what we're reporting is there's a lot of information related to the president that's being handed over.
Maxine Waters, Democrat from California and chairperson of one of the committees, has said that they've received a lot.
Yeah, she says they've got a lot from the banks. They're going through it now. Now, what they've got, they've asked these banks, this is all the major Wall Street firms, for information on Russian oligarchs, business people who have been linked to President Trump in one way or another. So they're essentially looking at these Russians and seeing if they can see any information, if there's a financial trail from these Russian business people to the president or his family or his business in some way. Now, we don't know what's in those documents. We don't know if they're going to find anything, but that's the route they're taking.
Now, President Trump, hasn't he argued that these subpoenas are entirely political?
President Trump has argued in court that the congressional subpoenas, as you say, are politically motivated, they're intrusive. He's saying the lawmakers are going beyond the powers they have because these are investigations that are really just fishing expeditions looking for information that's not directly connected to legislation. The dilemma he has is the New York State Attorney General can really ask for any information related to an investigation. So he can't go to court and try and block the demands for information that the New York State Attorney General has made. And in fact, we're reporting that the banks are complying with those subpoenas and are handing over the documents on these different loans.
You can find Gene's full report with Rebecca Davis O'Brien and Siobhan Hughes up on WSJ.com. On to markets. China set a daily anchor for trading in its currency at its weakest level since 2008 today. This followed a tumultuous day on Wall Street, prompted by a fall in bond yields. Yields fall when prices rise, which is a sign that investor demand for safe assets like bonds is increasing. Our markets reporter, Anna Isaac, has more.
Well, it's, as you say, been a tumultuous few days for markets. Now, this fixing that's been carried out by China to try and keep a handle on how the currency will move in a day's trading. It doesn't really change the overall narrative for markets that started at the very beginning of this week, which has caused these massive fluctuations, this sort of snapback to volatility that we're seeing now. And nowhere, as you rightly say, is this more clear to read than in US Treasuries. We saw a whole bunch. We saw the 2-year, 3-year, 10-year, 30-year hit 52-week lows in trading yesterday. That's taking a snapshot at the end of the US trading day.
But Anna says that while some investors are looking for safety, others now smell opportunity.
There's also a sense to which opportunity strikes when volatility returns. We have had a bull market for a long time in equities, but for a lot of currency traders, for a lot of other asset class traders, there's been a sense to which everything's been very calm since the financial crisis. That's meant that a lot of asset classes have made it very hard to generate a return. You know, people with low yields on government bonds or even negative yields on government bonds are going to find it very hard to actually make any money out of that. So what people now will be moving to do, investors are saying they're trying to do, is try and work out who can win in this volatility. How can they start looking at the volatility index as a sort of a guide to where they can take opportunities.
And now the SCED. Here's what else we're paying attention to today. Kraft Heinz is set to report its earnings today before market open. It's the first from the company after it revealed earlier this year that the SEC was probing accounting practices at one of its divisions. From Chicago, Heather Haddon has more.
The last we've actually heard from them was their 2018 full year filing, which they made 3 months late, finally in June, which showed some of these accounting changes, about $208 million in accounting changes that they had to account for across multiple years. So this is the first time going forward that they've reported earnings since. And so we'll have both the first and second quarters, I believe, for the company, which they are very late on. And we really don't know. I mean, from all the analyst reports I've read, it looks like it's going to be difficult for them. I mean, we're going to be comparing some difficult years for them since all these changes. So I will expect certainly a difficult report and probably the stock to fall.
We'll also be paying attention to Uber, which reports its earnings after market close. Yesterday after the bell, rival Lyft raised its revenue outlook for the rest of the year as it gained more riders. Lyft also said it planned to lose less money this year than expected. Shares in the company surged more than 11% in after-hours trading. Finally, here's an interesting one for you. The maker of Arizona iced tea has reached a licensing agreement with Dixie Brands to get into the weed-infused gummies and drinks business. Plans for the Arizona line are in the early stages, but we report they're likely to start with vape pens and gummies, followed by a variety of beverages that could include tea, lemonade, soda, coffee, or seltzer. One of our readers wrote in, "I would have loved to have been there when someone had to pitch this to their CEO." Us too. That's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.